The title of my sermon this morning, I tried to think of a really cute title, but there's no other title than just the precious blood of Jesus. So that's what we're going to be reading on this morning. It's found in Revelation 12, verse 11, although we're going to touch on some other verses as well, but I want to read this portion. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Father, help me decrease so that you might increase this morning. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes to see what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is a verse that is very popular within our Christian circles. I know you've probably heard it 1,000 times over. We say it, we like to say it, you know, when someone's going through something or when we're going through something, we like to quote it back to ourselves and say, you know, "But I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony," right? But I'm not sure that we fully understand the importance of this scripture. This is about the blood and the testimony that overcomes Satan's power. Amen? Through the cross of Christ, Satan has been completely defeated. His only power that he has over us today, the only power that if I could say he has any little bit of power, is through deception. He deceives us. He tries to deceive us. However, when we understand the blood of Christ and what it has accomplished for us, it changes Satan's ability to harass us and deceive us. Let me just give you an example. Several years ago, when we moved into our house, there was a neighbor across the street from us called Mark. And I'm pretty sure that Mark was not named after the second book of the Bible. Pretty sure. This man, from the moment that we moved in, hated us. He hated us. He harassed us. If I told you the things that he did, it would blow your mind. A couple of things that he did was he called my husband's job because he saw the number on his van. My husband was working two jobs, as he always does, part-time at one. And it wasn't okay for him to take the van from one company to the other. So he would have to come home, leave the van, pick up the car, and take it. And so this man gets the number off of the van and calls the company and says, "Did you know that your worker is coming home at noon?" Right? He called the company so much that my husband's boss said, "If you call again, I'm going to get an attorney for harassment against you." That was one of the things that he did. He would harass our guests that would come over if they parked at the end of the cul-de-sac, which his guests always did, but ours couldn't. And he would harass them. He would come knocking on our door and saying, "Your guests have to..." that was a little thing, right? I could deal with that. He called the city on us and said that we were building an illegal shack or something of some sort in the back. He hated us. So I started praying for this man. And I thought, you know what? He's got teenagers. I'm going to invite them to church, you know. So I got a flyer one day. I went up to his door. I knocked on the door, and there comes Mark, right? Gruff face. And I said, "Hey, Mark, I just came over because I want to invite your kids. They're having a special group, you know, movie night, and all this is kind of like a youth night, you know." Oh, wow, he was mad at me. He threw that flyer back in my face, cussed me up and down, and told me to get off his property and never come back again. I said, okay. Well, I had prayed for him, right? So one day, he had called the city on us, and actually he had called, and he had called a report that that Gary's van was too high up, and it was breaking some kind of city ordinance. So the city inspector actually had to come out and measure the van, right? Then he comes up to the door again. He had been here several times to our house, and he says to me, "It's okay, you're fine, no worries." And he goes, "I called it into San Jose PD." He says, "I got somebody to come out here." He says, "Because, this is like going on and on." He goes, "I just want to make sure things are okay," whatever. So the officer was there. And Mark's daughter had parked in front of fire hydrant, right? And so the officer looks and he tells me, "Whose car is that right there?" I said, "It ain't mine. That's all I know. It ain't mine," right? Well, the funny thing is, anyway, that he ended up getting a ticket for his daughter's car that was parked illegal. He had called the city on us, but he, you know. And he didn't appreciate my comment because I said, Mark, you know, the Word of God says when you try to roll a boulder over someone, it comes back on you. You know, God's got us, you know. So we got so tired of the harassment because my dad was still alive, and it was just he would just do things, and my dad was like, oh, we have to pray for this man. So we were praying for him. And one day after one of his little antics, and he had left, he had driven off, I said, you know what, I've had enough. And so I said, God, you didn't move us into this area. You didn't bless us with this home so that we could be harassed day in and day out. So I took my anointing oil. You know, I could be a little extra sometimes. And I crossed the street when Mark left. And I had the audacity to draw a line in the with the anointing oil. I took my finger and I just drew a line, right? And I said, Satan, you will no longer cross and harass us. You will not bother us anymore. And I said, God, change Mark's heart or remove him. Remove him. Now, granted, we had moved into this house. It had already been built, you know, years before. This man purchased the house when it was newly built. He had lived there for years, and here I'm asking God to change him or remove him, right? Because I said, God, enlarge our territory. Like, if he's not going to submit, if he doesn't want anything to do with you, if he's going to harass us day in and day out, he's trying to, you know, the enemy's in our face all the time. God, just remove him. And it was a few months later that we learned that he had sold the house and he moved away. Yeah. See, when you apply the blood, the enemy has to listen, and that's what he hates. He hates that. But to understand, you know, that the shed blood, it can be used in spiritual battle. We need to understand that the blood of Christ was not just, it was not just shed for the forgiveness of our sins. That's wonderful. That's glorious. And I thank God for that. But there's so much more to it than that. The shed blood can be used, as I said, in spiritual warfare. So I want to go back and look at verse 7, because you can't look at this portion of Scripture without going back a little bit. So we're going to rewind a little bit so that we can fully understand. Verse 7 says, and war broke out in the heavenlies. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. This war in heaven will take place. The Word of God talks about it, and this was a revelation that God gave to John the Revelator, and this is a war that will take place sometime in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period spoken by Daniel the prophet. Now, I'm not a prophecy teacher. I don't profess to be, and I'm not going to try to teach you prophecy this morning. Just the simple facts of the Word of God. It says that Michael and his angels will prevail over Satan. Amen? And his angels, they will be cast out of heaven. See, this portion of Scripture is a proclamation of our victory. Because no longer will the enemy be able to stand before God and accuse us. It says that he accuses the brethren. That's awesome all on its own. But now when we take a look at verse 11, and we study it and we break it down, it becomes even more powerful. And so I want to spend time on verse 11 and focus the majority of our time on talking about, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The precious blood, amen? Now, we can't have a sermon without talking about a tweet. So I'm going to read you a tweet by an author called Russell Moore, who is he writes for the Crosswalk. If you are on the internet at all and you read any Christian magazines, crosswalk.com is one of the big ones. And so he wrote this. It's a long article, but I'm only going to read you a portion of what he wrote. He says, American Christianity is far less bloody than it used to be. Songs like Power in the Blood, or There is a Fountain Filled with Blood, Are You Washed in the Blood, are still sung in some places, but fewer and fewer. And there aren't many newer songs or praise choruses so focused on the blood. The cross, yes. Redemption, yes. But blood, rarely. We're eager to speak of life, but hesitant to speak of the blood. See, I believe that the enemy has done a job on us in some ways. He's done a job within the church because he tries to keep us from understanding what the blood has provided for us. Why? Because he hates the blood. He hates the blood. The enemy hates the blood. Why? Let me tell you why. Let me just name a few reasons why he hates the blood this morning. The enemy hates the blood because we have redemption in the blood. The blood of Jesus redeems us, the Word of God tells us. There was a price that was paid for us. We were under the weight of sin, but Jesus' blood redeemed us. Amen? 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, For you know that it was not with perishable things as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, it says. You weren't bought with just anybody's blood, but we were bought with a spotless lamb's blood, the precious Lamb of God, amen? 1 Peter 1, verses 18. That was the same one that I read right now, but I want to read it again to you. It says, For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way handed down to you. Any other way, any other life, in other words, that you try to have outside of the blood of Christ is empty. It's empty. Not only does his blood remove the punishment of sin, but the Word of God tells us that it removes the pollution. See, you may be sitting here today feeling like you can't approach God because your sin has so polluted your life. But I don't care what condition you're sitting here this morning. The Word of God says in 1 John 1:7, it says, The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It says all sin. What sin? The enemy hates and fears the blood. He hates and fears the blood that is applied to a sin-filled heart. He hates that. He hates it when a sinner comes and realizes that I can no longer live this life on my own, or a believer that's struggling with something says, I can no longer try to do this and have victory on my own. God, I need the blood applied to my heart. Why? Because he loses a soul. Bottom line, when the blood is applied, the enemy has to take his hands off. The blood, hallelujah, keeps us from spiritual death. Amen? The blood keeps us from spiritual death. Why are so many within the church falling away? Hallelujah. As I was sharing with the Wednesday night Bible study, I wasn't intending to share this, but I'm going to share it this morning with it. One of the most, if you want to call it prominent, worship leaders within the Christian realm this week announced that he no longer believes. Here is a young man that has written worship songs that we sing on Sunday mornings. Hallelujah. But he has fallen away. Why? Maybe he didn't apply the blood. Maybe he didn't understand that the power of the blood could sustain him until the end. Amen? Amen. This is why it's so important that we preach the blood, that we teach the blood, that we talk about the blood with our kids. Hallelujah. So that they understand the power that they have when they apply the blood. The second reason that the enemy hates the blood is because we have fellowship with Jesus. The blood of Jesus brings us into fellowship or relationship with God. This is where it goes beyond. It's not a religion. This is where it turns into a relationship because of the blood. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ, man is a long way from God. Amen? We need the blood. The third reason that the enemy hates the blood is because we have peace in the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus makes peace with God, it says. In the word in Colossians 1:20, it says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Amen. If he made peace through the blood with his cross, he made it for us. He made it for us. See, our enemy absolutely hates the blood. He absolutely hates the blood. And the fourth reason is because there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus gives us victory over Satan. And he gives us victory over spiritual death. The word of God says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." How much power does he give us? He gives us all the power. He gives us authority, all the authority that we need over the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. Over this power, over that power, over power over lust. He gives us power over divorce. He gives us power over our finances. He gives us power over whatever it is that you're facing this morning. He gives us power. It says he gives us power, all power over all that the enemy has. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." We're like the bread of Passover. He's just waiting to form us, right? To get it all together. Jesus is our Passover. With the blood of Jesus, see, we need to understand that what the blood of Jesus did for the Israelites in Egypt on Passover, he does for us. Amen? When we apply the blood, they were told to apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintels of their home, right? Apply the blood, apply the blood. And if you apply the blood, death is going to pass over. And that night, I'm sure that some of them might have been sitting there saying, "Oh, wow, okay, we're going to do this." But who knows, right? Who knows? But the word shows us that death passed over them. This is why they celebrate Passover. Amen? It says the blood covers us. The blood covers us. See, we need to understand that everyone who is here today, if you are on your way to heaven, it's because of the blood. It's because of the blood. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. The blood had to be shed. See, we need to remember that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. The blood cleanses us from all sin. And therefore, it takes his power away to accuse us. If the sin is gone, he has nothing to accuse us on. Right? The reason he accuses us is because sometimes we're living sin-filled lives. Bottom line. He gets evidence. He goes before God and he says, "Look, this is what I have." But when we're living according to the word of God and we are under the blood, under the protection of the blood, he has nothing that he can say. Amen? See, the enemy doesn't really mess with the blood. I'll tell you. He doesn't really mess with the blood. He's afraid of the blood. He's afraid of the blood. Bottom line, he's afraid of the blood. So he's not going to mess with the blood. What he does mess with, however, is the second part of that verse. And it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." See, our Christian testimony, as recounted in Revelation 12:11, is not only about a spoken word, but it's more about the substance of our lives. It's more about how we live our life. A life dedicated to Christ is a powerful testimony. Paul describes such a life in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. He says, "We have conducted ourselves in the world and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not only on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. Relying on God's grace for your testimony, for my testimony. Amen? We need God's grace. We need God's grace. There's nothing that I hate more than when someone attacks a child. You want to see me get a little hot under the collar? Attack a child. And yesterday, at the conference that I was in, I've been trying to witness to this girl that I met last year. Been witnessing to her, been inviting her to church, and she's like, oh, I was listening to that sermon, it was making me cry, so I said, I'm not going to listen anymore. One of those, right? So I've been sharing with her, and during the break, when the ladies came out to buy, her little girl was with her, and a little girl was about 8 years old, and she's very, very, very helpful, very eager to help mommy, and so she was trying to sell to this one lady that came up to the table. The lady came, she went. When I walked over the table, this my friend says, oh my gosh, like it was all I could do to just tell her to leave my table. She says, she was so rude to my little girl. She didn't want my little girl helping her. She says, when I saw that, I kind of stepped in and I said, here, let me take over. She says, and she rolled her eyes at me and just sighed and said, I was waiting for you to do that. You know, that was, to me, that was, let me tell you why it upset me. It upset me because I was like, here I am trying to witness to her. Right? And somebody comes out of church, okay, and does this and treats this little girl like this. That's the picture that she has of a believer, right? She doesn't know if that lady's a believer or not. She assumes she is because she's there at church, right? And so I had to pray, say, God, help me, you know, help me. I mean, I was just so disappointed in that lady, and I didn't even know her. I was just so disappointed. I was like, why did you do that? Why did you do that, you know? And I just told the little girl, I said, you know what, you're beautiful. You keep helping mommy. I was trying to encourage her, you know, she was smiling. But we have to be so careful because our testimony speaks louder than words, right? Our testimony speaks louder than words. When our actions of godly living match the words coming from our lips, our testimony will be seen as true. I don't have to try to convince anybody. I don't have to try to convince anyone. But the enemy is so sneaky and so sly, right? He's so sneaky and so sly. Recently I was somewhere, and I don't want to say exactly where, but I was somewhere, it wasn't bad, don't worry, but with a group, and we were at this event, and we were being served on these utensils or platters, whatever you want to call it. And they were really cute. They were really cute, and I'll be honest, they were disposable, okay? But they weren't paper, they were plastic, okay? So everybody thought that they were like, oh, okay, let's just take them, right? Well, in my way of thinking, nobody told me that I could, right? I didn't buy them. And nobody told me that I could. And I felt like, but they were cute. And I wanted some. Honestly, I was like, oh, but they're so cute. Like, I really, you know, those are cute. Like, who cares, you know? And I'm going to tell you that sitting there, as I thought about it, because everybody was packing up and, you know, taking these things and putting them in, getting, you know, and here's the thing. See, they weren't walking out with them in their hands. Right? They were hiding them. They were hiding them. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, your testimony. That's all he needed to say. That's all he needed to say. They're like, here, take some. Here, have them. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. It's like, no, I'm good. I'm okay, you know? And it was a little thing. And at the end of the night, the people that were cleaning were actually tossing them out. Okay? That didn't matter, though. It was my testimony. I felt like had I submitted to, had I done that, you know, what would they have thought? What would they have thought? Like, you're being sneaky too, right? So you're not that different than us. But I am. I am different because of the blood of Jesus. And because I know that the word of God says and that I someday will overcome by the blood, the precious sacrifice that Jesus made. But more than that, I have to guard my testimony. I have to watch my testimony. What is our testimony saying to those around us? What is it revealing to those around us? If our testimony is wishy-washy, that's the gospel that they're going to see. A wishy-washy gospel. Our testimony has to be solid. Our testimony has to be strong. Our testimony has to be unwavering. Unwavering. When your friends at school, young men, are coming up with those magazines and they want you to look at pornographic pictures, your testimony has to be solid. You have to say, no, I can't. Sorry, I'll see you guys later. Walk away. Turn around and run if you have to. Get away from that atmosphere. Because this is where the enemy focuses his energy and his time. He does everything he can to destroy our testimony. Because he can't do anything about the blood. So he sees that and he's like, oh, the blood, okay, I'm gone. I'm out of here. But he sees a life that's not fully surrendered to God. And he said, this area over here, this is an area that I can have some power over. This is an area where I think I can trip them up. I don't see the blood applied here. The saying that actions speak louder than words has never been so true than when it relates to our testimony. Matthew 5:16 puts it simply. It's a verse that I taught my daughter when she was very little. It says, let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Glorify your Father in heaven. Our testimony must glorify our Father in heaven. Our testimony has to glorify our Father in heaven. If you're living, if you're going to school, if you're going to work, and your testimony is not glorifying your Father in heaven, something is wrong. The blood needs to be applied in some area of your life. See, we're a living testimony of a living, powerful God. The truth is that the enemy is running rampant. If we watch the news, how many of you watch the news? Some of you may not. But if you watch any form of news or on any type of social media, you'll see that the enemy is running rampant in our nation. He is. He is. And unfortunately, he's running rampant in the homes of the United States. Otherwise, we wouldn't see what we're seeing in our nation. Right? We wouldn't see young men who are so confused that they think they need to take a gun and go shoot up people they don't even know. We wouldn't see that. So he's running rampant in our nation. He's running rampant in our homes. And unfortunately, we're seeing that people are falling away because he's running rampant in the church, in the body of Christ. We have to realize that we are not just there. CNN says we're a nation in crisis. I'm going to go beyond that. We're a nation that's Christless. That's what we are. We're a nation that needs Christ. We need Christ in our homes. We need Christ in our schools. We need Christ in our car. We need Christ in our work. We need Christ in every area of our lives. The body of Christ is operating pretty much in a spiritual state of anemia. The thing with anemia, see, the thing is, I had a cousin that passed away from anemia. They caught it too late. The thing with anemia is that if it's not treated correctly and quickly, it can turn into leukemia, which is deadly. It can be deadly. And as I was praying last night, I was saying, Lord, what do you have to say? This part of it he gave me like in the middle of the night last night. He said, tell them that they're operating in an anemic state. In the same way that when we walk around spiritually anemic, we are in danger of spiritual death. When we walk around spiritually anemic, If you're here this morning, now you know, because the Holy Spirit's already speaking. The Holy Spirit's already showing you. The Holy Spirit's already showing you that the blood needs to be applied here in this lustful area. He told me this morning. We're dealing with lust this morning in this room. The Holy Spirit needs to be applied in this area of your life. The Holy Spirit needs to be applied in your unbelief, maybe. I don't know, because I'm not God, but He knows this morning. And He was saying, tell them that when they walk around spiritually anemic, they're in danger of spiritual death. Spiritual death. Spiritual death is eternal. Spiritual death is eternal, because if you go into eternity in a spiritually dead condition, you don't want to think about what that's going to be like. You don't want to think about this. See, we don't want to be uncomfortable. And I posted this on Facebook. One of my friends was laughing. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We say, oh, man, it's too hot. No, I ain't going out. I ain't going to church on Wednesday night. Nope, I'm not. Too hot. You know, they don't have that room cool enough. I'm not going to go. You know, youth room is too hot now. Pastor Joseph, you know, he preaches too long. You know, they're going to do that song. I don't want to go. Nope, I'm not going to go. I don't want to be uncomfortable. And then you go through your week and you're struggling. You're struggling with that lust. You're struggling with those finances. You're struggling with that marriage. You're struggling at your work. See? But you didn't want to be uncomfortable to come and get more of the word and get fed on Wednesday nights when you're where you should be here. You should be here on Sunday mornings. You should be here. You know, we should be here at every time the church doors open. Bottom line. We should be so in love with Jesus. We should be so thrilled about what He's done for us that it draws us to Him. Amen? But sometimes we don't want to come because we are anemic. And we feel so tired. And we feel so, I'm talking about spiritually tired. Okay, some of you are physically tired. I get that. I get that. I understand that, you know. But I also understand that when you're spiritually tired and spiritually just like you're done, like, you know, what else could happen? I was telling Pastor Mike last week, Satan's coming against my family, but, you know, I just got to keep pressing forward, right? Just got to keep pushing through. It's okay. God, you know, God has a victory, and I'm just going to keep pressing through. And that's what we need to remind Satan of. What does it mean to apply the blood? What does it mean to apply the blood? Really, when I thought about this, and I prayed about it, and I looked at it, to apply the blood simply means to remind the enemy of it. Remind the enemy of the blood. When you're struggling in that situation where you shouldn't be looking at this, but you're so like, oh, it's exciting. It's exciting. It brings you a thrill in the moment. And afterwards, it brings you a downer. But you need to remind him in that moment. This is where the Word of God talks about bringing every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. You bring that thought and you say, oh, okay, that's not a God thought. Wait a minute. I need to apply the blood. I need to apply the blood. And pray, learning to pray the Word. Learning to pray and remind the enemy of the scriptures of the blood. When he says, oh, you know what? You're not forgiven. Look at you. You're in the same state. Say, no, wait a minute. The Word of God tells me that Jesus shed his blood, and it says that, wait a minute, what does it say? Oh, yeah, it says that without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sin. So I know the blood was shed, so I know that my sins are forgiven. So you know what? Get out of here. Get out of here. Just leave. You don't have any place here. We need to talk to him and tell him, put him in his place through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Put him in his place when he comes in and he's trying to put sickness on us. Put him in his place. I realize that there's sickness that we go through. I get it. But never let him steal your joy. Never let him steal your joy. Because if he steals your joy, he takes the strength that you have to battle him so that you can get through the sickness. See? So that you can get to your victory. Amen? That's what he tries to do. The first thing he'll try to do is discourage you. He deceives you. He tries to cause deception. He tries to bring deception. And he tries to tell you that, see, God has forgotten you. God's forgotten you. God, God's forgotten you. See, man of God, you preach and whatever, but God's forgotten you. But had you believed that lie, this beautiful lady here would not be sitting here this morning. Amen, Michael? If you two, who are the sons that are that were here, I don't see her other kids here this morning, but if you two had believed that lie, I guarantee you Sister Esperanza might have slipped into eternity beforehand. She was battling. When she couldn't battle, these two men of God battled for her along with their church. Amen? They applied the blood. They applied the blood. And they said no. And God granted them the desires of their heart. I truly believe, and I do believe that there's, I'm one that's preached this before, there's a time for us to be born and a time to die. I get that. But I also know that the story of Hezekiah, and God had mercy. And when Hezekiah prayed, God gave him 15 more years, right? Pastor Mike? I believe that God's merciful. And if God sees a purpose for it that we don't see, he may very well do that. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not sovereign. He is. But I know that I serve a sovereign God. And I know that if there's someone that I love, like Joseph and Michael love their mama, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God. I'm going to keep praying and asking God for healing. Amen? Because healing was purchased for us through the blood of Jesus. Amen? We can claim it. We can claim it. Amen. See, this part of the scripture, the last part that says, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Although this was speaking about a physical death. They were talking about those that will be put to death because of the cause of Christ, right? That's what it's referring to. And although it was speaking about that, I also think that it represents a spiritual death. I also think that we have to be willing to let go of the old man, to let go of the sinful nature. We have to be willing to look at our lives honestly. See, because we're living in a day and age where we don't have time anymore to play church. We don't have time anymore to play church. We don't have time anymore to come to church Sunday after Sunday and continue to struggle with the same things that we're struggling, because there's a lost world out there that needs to see a living, powerful testimony in me. Amen? And if I'm confessing to know Christ, if I'm confessing that I carry the presence of God, so then when I go somewhere and I'm not acting like it, that person, those people around me, they're not going to understand what a wonderful, glorious, wonderful, amazing thing God did through giving his son to shed his blood on Calvary so that I could have power to live my life. Yes, so that I could have the wonderful, thank God for what's to come. Amen? Thank God for the promise of heaven. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, you know, those of you that are 16 or 17, you're going, yeah, okay, whatever. Wait till you get my age, okay? Oh, heaven becomes everything. You start to focus on heaven. You start to think about heaven. You get excited about heaven, right? Because the Bible says that he's prepared a wonderful place for us. But that's only if you're covered under the blood. You know, those promises, everything that I talked about the power that's given to us through the blood of Christ, only comes through a heart that is surrendered to Christ, a heart that acknowledges that we are sinful, of a sinful nature, a heart that acknowledges that I cannot do this life thing without Jesus applying his blood to my sin. Jesus cover it. And no matter what, the Bible says that his love covers a multitude of sin. No matter how many times you've been struggling with that thing and you failed time and time again with that, you know, with that eating disorder and you've struggled, you know, you've struggled. I'm gonna be honest with you guys, because you guys are my church, you're my family, you love me, you know, in all my splendor. You love me. that the Holy Spirit has been doing a job on me, Susan, where's Susan? Because Susan's going to be happy to hear this. Yes. He's been doing a job on me. He's not letting me eat my donuts. Right? Let me tell you why, guys. Because I have been feeling physically not 100%. Right? And so I went out with a sister in Christ on Friday and on Thursday. And she takes care of herself. Susan, she's like you. So you'll be glad to hear that I'm hanging around with good people. She, you know, we went there and I was like, ooh, I'm going to get pasta, you know. And I'm like, what are you going to get? And she's like, oh, I'm going to get a salad. I'm like, ugh. You know, it's like, it's really hard to eat pasta. Okay, skinny people, let me just tell you, okay? All right, let me just be real with you right now. It's really hard to eat pasta when you're eating salad. Like, that's just a hard thing for me. But anyway, she ordered a spinach salad. Thank God they had spinach because I love spinach. So I said, okay. She's like, you need it. She's like very like, not afraid to tell me my, I love that. Don't you love those friends that aren't afraid to call you on your weaknesses? I need those friends. I don't want you to come around me and tell me, oh, you're so skinny. Like, please, I have a mirror. Like, really, guys? No. I want the friend that'll say, you know what? You haven't been feeling that well. And as I was praying for you, God said that you need to eat better. I'm like, oh, you're right. Okay, I'm going to have the salad, you know? So I had the salad. I ate about half of it. It was good, right? But she ate half, so I was like, okay, I'll eat half. I guess that's like a thing. We only eat half a salad. No wonder you're like 5 sizes smaller. So then I went home that night, and I was like, oh, man, what am I going to eat? Like, oh, pizza, right? I can order pizza. Sarisa, you know, DoorDash knows me well. But you know what? The Holy Spirit did not let me. He said, you have the other half of that salad. It's like, okay, God, I'm surrender. See, so Susan, I am applying the blood to my health. And I'm saying, God, see, because I can't, bottom line is, and this is a hard truth to swallow this morning. If I have to swallow anything, it's going to be this pill this morning. That I can't ask God to keep me healthy and whole if I'm not willing to sacrifice and do my part. I have to do my part. I have to do my part. And because I've been feeling weak, because I've been feeling so tired, because I said to her, you're right, I'm not eating well. I'm eating hot dogs. I have like a kid's pastor, a kid's pastor's heart, a kid pastor's appetite, right? Donuts, cookie, all the bad things, you guys. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. But that's the truth. That's the truth. But I'm saying, God, I'm applying the blood, God. I'm applying the blood. Thank God at the conference that we went to, the lady that did the snacks for the vendors had fruits and salad. And so we had salad on Friday night. We had salad again for dinner. I'm trying. Why? Because I'm realizing that I can't ask God to help me and apply the blood to my health if I'm not willing to do what I need to do and admit that, God, I'm sorry, I haven't taken really good care of this temple. But would you forgive me? Would you forgive me and would you help me? And I know he will. I know he will. Because I have family and you are my family that will keep me in check. I know, Susan, now that I said it, I'm in trouble. Now that I said I'm in trouble, those pictures that I post, you're not going to be okay with that. Thank you, Susan, for that. Because you've been a big, big encourager and an example. An example, right? Of what we should do at this temple. Amen? So this morning, here's my challenge. Here's the Lord's challenge to us this morning, to all of us. Have we applied the blood? Is there an area of your life? Michael, is Michael here? Would you come up to the piano, please? Is there an area of your life that you can sit here this morning and say, yes, I see that. I see that I'm struggling with that lustful thing. And don't worry, I'm not going to call you out and say everybody. We're all going to come together at once so that nobody knows that that's the thing you're struggling with. Nobody needs to know. It's not our business. It's God's business. He knows. See, don't let the enemy tell you that it's okay, man. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. You'll get it under control. Don't leave this room today. Don't leave this sanctuary today thinking that you're going to have victory over that thing because you haven't had it so far. See, but now you understand the power that comes through applying the blood, through reminding the enemy. First of all, you're going to come and we're going to repent this morning. And we're going to ask God to forgive us of those things that we've done that have failed him, that have injured him, that have hurt him. And when we ask for his forgiveness, he's faithful and just, the Bible says, to forgive us of all our sins. Amen? He's going to forgive us. And then those prayer warriors are going to come by and they're going to anoint you with oil because it's going to represent the blood this morning. We're going to remind the enemy that you have surrendered that thing to Christ, that it's under the blood. And then from this day on, you're going to use the word of God and you're going to remind the enemy every time he tries to come with that lustful thought or every time he comes to, you know, with me with the donuts, I'm going to have to apply the blood and say no, no. Why? Because I'm going to be careful what I put in this temple from now on. I'm confessing to you guys this morning. Why? Because I need your help. I need Brenda, who I know is going to come after me and say, what'd you eat today? Right? I'm going to have to be careful. That's okay to be accountable to each other on things like that. It's okay to be accountable to each other on things like that. If you're struggling with something, oh my goodness, young man, don't come to me. Come to Pastor Mike or Pastor Joseph. You have two godly men here who are ready and able to help you get through that thing. Don't try to do it on your own. Apply the blood and then get somebody that you can come to. Someone that you can say, hey, Pastor Joe, I you know what? I had a thought this morning and I know it wasn't God. I really need you to be praying for me. You have two godly women here, ladies, young women that are struggling with things. We are not susceptible to not struggling with lust. So I'm not just speaking to the men this morning. So if you're struggling with something like that, come and talk to us. Let us pray with you. I have a book at home that I write all the prayer requests in. And I pray over them. God, help my ladies at Buyer Jewelry. God, I'm getting so many prayer requests now on a day, almost like every other day, I'm getting prayer requests from ladies. Hey, pray for this. Hey, pray for that. And we're seeing God answer. We're seeing God answer. But see, I want the power that the blood has. I want everything. I'm stingy this morning. I am stingy this morning. So I have to surrender this area of eating so that I can have the full power of the Holy Spirit operating in me. See, that's what I'm coming to realize. I can't not surrender this completely and then think that God's going to work powerfully in this area when I lay hands on the sick for them to recover. I have to surrender it all. Amen? Amen. And so this morning, if there's something that you need prayer for this morning, first I'm going to ask my prayer team to come up. This morning, if you're here, you're a deacon, you're a leader, come up. We've already have some oil on our hands. There's more here. There's an area that you're struggling with this morning. Don't hesitate to come up. God wants to give you and enable you through the power of the blood of Jesus, whether it's finances, whether it's your eating, like me, whether it's your you know, you're struggling with thoughts, whether you're struggling with depression and anxiety. I met a young lady this weekend that's struggling with anxiety. I mean, major anxiety she's having at night. She's worried about going into a new school because she's worried that the anxiety is going to pop up. So whatever it is that you're struggling with this morning, come and find a prayer warrior to anoint you with oil.